Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide daily over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, business, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the predictions for 2010 review right after this. Hey, if you've got a lot that's about 50 by 100 feet with a 2,000 square foot house, then you've got space for about six raised beds. That's about 2,400 square feet. Now, that's called French intensive culture. 2,400 square feet is enough space to grow all of the food that your family of four to six will eat in one entire year. And you can do that in the middle of your city, like downtown Cleveland, just as easy as you can out here in the country. Now, the idea that you are trapped in your city and you cannot provide for yourself and your family because of a space limitation is a fiction. And you don't need extra cash to buy a tractor, a plow, or a harrow. All you need is a shovel, a rake, and a hoe. That's more in line with what we need for an urban French intensive culture farm. We don't need a lot of acres or combines or price supports. We need pruners, newspaper for mulch, and open pollinated seed. And if you've got 2,400 square feet or a backyard big enough for a decent garden, you can feed your whole family and you can do it on your own land. Now, this process, if you'd like to learn more and you'd like to learn how to be self-sufficient even in your own city on your own lot, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there. All right, we've been reviewing the predictions for the year 2010. I took a little digression here and gave you the Figge report. That Figge report is important because everything that they predicted came to pass. It just didn't come to pass on the dates that they said it was. Now, in looking at these 23 gurus, we'll call them gurus for the sake of a name to hang on them, newsletter writers, economists, investors, and et cetera, they have opinions based upon their expertise. And their opinions based upon history and their expert opinions and their experience in the marketplace is probably pretty well settled. They come up with things like, listen to some of their predictions. They're telling us that there's a big downturn coming. The economy is going to fall and we're all going to fall with it together. There's a continuing decline in real estate. It would be good for you to invest in precious metals and commodities. It would be good for you to keep cash at home because of 160 bank failures this year. And the dollar is going to die. There will be a revolution, or at least civil disorder in the streets. There's a crash coming. Depression starts. Stocks go down. Market hits a stone wall. A decline in the stock market to around 3,000 to 5,000. Now, right now, the Dow Jones is at about 11,500. It's off about 20% from its all-time high, 14,100 and change. It's off 20%. But it was off 50%. Which just about paralleled the 1929 collapse. What happened there was the stock market broke in October of 1929, and it lost 40% of its value. Then it regained about 80% of the loss, and then it drifted down until it finally bottomed out in March of 1933 with an 89% loss. And what we're seeing today is just about a mirror image. The market here broke in September or October of 2008. Then it reached a bottom about 2009, then it regained, it had a comeback, and it's just about reached the top of its comeback, and it should drift lower over the next year and a half until it reaches a low of approximately 80 to 90% loss overall. It isn't going to lose 100%. It's going to lose about 80 or 90. Well, if it only loses 50%, isn't that going to be a god-awful hit for you? 60% is even worse, 70, 80, 90%? There isn't anything good coming out of this, and what we're watching here is a slow, methodical repeat of the 1929 experience. The 1929 experience was simply a repeat of the 1907 experience, the 1893 experience, the 1873 experience, the 1841 experience, the 1783 experience, the 1754 experience. I mean, come on, kids. We've been going through this, you know, from time to time over the last 200 or 300 years. And now it's coming down on us again. Now, you'd think we'd learn from this, don't you? Now, in the Bible, God told us to use just weights and balances. So from 1794 until about 1854, we didn't. And then we had this terrible loss. And then we went back to practicing just weights and balances. And then came the Revolutionary War. And we had to give that up so we could finance the war. And then that ended in collapse in 1783. Then in 1787, our founding father said, hey, let's go back to gold and silver. With some interruptions in the process. And we did pretty well until 1933. And then Roosevelt took the gold away. And then it's been a bad scene ever since. President Johnson took silver coin out in 64, 65. And then we went on to this fiat currency. Richard Nixon decoupled this from gold. Now we're on a total fiat currency, as is the rest of the world. And now we've got what's known as the global financial crisis. Now here's some guys that are trying to tell you, here's what to expect. Here's what we're looking at for the future. Now a guy by the name of Joseph Mayer, M-E-Y-E-R, comes into the game. And then he says, you can look for continuing decline in real estate. Well, here's what his little story is. Forecasts on the economy. He sees the real estate market continuing to decline and advised people to invest in precious metals and commodities, as well as keeping cash at home in a safe place in case of bank closure. The stock market, after peaking in March or April around 10,850, will fall all the way down to somewhere between 2450 and 4125 during the next leg down. Now, he predicted that this was going to occur in 2010. He got three out of the four. There has been a continuing decline in real estate. His advice to invest in precious metals and commodities has been a winner. They're up 54% for silver, 16 or 18% for gold, and the commodities are up a bunch, I don't know, 16, 18, 20%. And then keep cash at home because of bank failures. Yep, there's been 160 bank failures this year. I think that was reasonable advice. And while not all banks have failed, you don't know which ones are going to. And so his fourth one, stocks are going to fall to 2450 to 4125. They didn't. In fact, they went up higher than his prediction of 10,000. They're up to 11,500. So he missed on the stock market call, but he got the other three right. That's 75%. In fact, this guy, Joseph Mayer, did the best. Now, a guy by the name of Harry Dent is an investor. He made six predictions. Here's what he said, Harry Dent, investor. He said, a very likely second crash by late 2010. The coming depression starts around the summer of 2010. Dent sees the stock market currently benefiting from upward momentum and peppier economic activity, headed for a very brief and pleasant run that could lift the Dow to the 10,700 to 11,500 range from its current level of about 10,090. But then he sees the market running into a stone wall, which will be followed by a nasty stock market decline starting in early March to late April that could drive down the Dow later this year to 3,000 to 5,000 with his best guess at about 3,800. Well, as an investor, I hope that he does better with his investing than he does with his prophesying. A second crash by late 2010 didn't occur. The depression starts in the summer of 2010. It hasn't. Stocks move up to 10.7 to 11.5. He got that one right. Market hits a stone wall. No, it hasn't yet. Stock market decline. Nope, not yet. And the Dow is going to fall to 3 to 5,000, and his pick was 3,800. Nope, that didn't happen either. So Harry Dent got one out of six, so his percentage is 16.6%. Now Richard Russell comes in. Now Richard Russell is a pretty heavy hitter. There's the Russell report. It's like the Dow Jones Industrial Averages. Well, this Richard Russell, this is the Russell Averages, the Russell Index. And he's a pretty heavy hitter. And Bob Chapman thinks a lot of him, and he gave a little word of advice. He said that when Russell speaks, we should all listen. Now, from 2-3-10, this is February 3rd, 2010, says the bear market rally is in the process of breaking up, and panic is on the way. He sees a full correction of the entire rise from the 2002 low of 72.86 to the bull market high of 14,164, which was set on October 9th, 2007. The halfway level of retracement was 10,725. The total retracement was to 65.47 on March 9th, 2009. So now he sees the Dow falling to 72.86. And if that level does not hold, I see it sinking to its 1980 to 82 area, a low of about 1,000 on the Dow. The current action is the worst that he has ever seen. Bob Chapman says, for Russell to make such a startling statement is unusual because he never cries wolf and is almost never wrong. Well, now, here's what our problem is. Remember I said, when you're trying to set dates, I think that everything that he's anticipating is on track and it's going to happen. But it didn't happen in 2010. And Russell, who in this case made 8 predictions, he got 1 correct. So his batting average is 12.5%. Notice he said bear market rally is breaking up. No. In fact, the bear market rally continued on and it's at 11,500. Panic is on the way. No. I haven't seen any evidence of panic. In fact, people are pretty stable. As I speak, we just finished Christmas, and my God, people have been out spending money like there's no tomorrow. People aren't panicking. They think that this is all over with and things are getting better and employment's going up and the economy is turning around, and this has been the best Christmas out of the last 2 or 3. In fact, their sales hit new records. He said there'd be a full correction of the rise from 72.86 in 02 to 14.164. Nope, that didn't happen. Now, he said this 10,725 came to pass. In fact, it hit 11,500. So he got 1 right. That's number 4. Total retracement is 65.47 on 3909. There hasn't been a total retracement yet. Is there going to be? Oh, I'd say no doubt about that. It's coming. And the Dow falls to 72.86. Nope, it hadn't fallen. Is it going to fall to 72.86? Oh, I wouldn't doubt that for a minute. The market is overbought. It's being manipulated by the plunge protection team. There's no substance to the stock market. It's not even a free market. It's totally manipulated and controlled. And they can manipulate and control that thing and keep its prices up, I guess. I guess, indefinitely. I don't know how long they can do that. I imagine there might be an end to it somewhere, but if there is, I don't know what it is. They've just got all the money in the world. I mean, how can you beat a guy that can just create it right out of thin air? Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, on November 3rd said that they were going to engage in a thing here called quantitative easing. And they did. And they are. And they're going to spend $600 billion. That's just the tip of the iceberg. The Bush tax cuts, they had some secret little deals in there between the Republicans and the Democrats. They're going to add another $300, $400 billion to spending. That's up over $1 trillion. So between Bernanke and quantitative easing, and the Bush tax cut extension, that's $1 trillion we're going to add for 2011. That's pretty hefty chunk. And what does that do for austerity? What does that do for the commission on balancing the budget and cutting the debt? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Dow falls to 72.86. No, that didn't happen. I see it at the 1980 to 82 level of 1,000. Well, it didn't fall to 72.86. It didn't fall below that, and it didn't go to the 1980-82 level. And then Bob Chapman says this guy's almost never wrong. Well, maybe up until today, but he was wrong 6 times out of 7, so number 8, he's almost never wrong, is wrong. So I put him down for 8. He got 1 out of 8. That's 12.5%. Is he wrong because he said he thought that the bear market rally is breaking up, panic is on the way, full correction, total retracement, Dow falls, I see it at the 1980-82 level? No, sir, it's just that he said it was going to happen in 2010, and it didn't happen in 2010. So then that sends us a signal. It says, hey, none of these guys know what they're talking about. No, I don't think that's correct. They all know what they're talking about. What they don't know is, when is that going to happen? And I'm always suspicious when somebody hangs a date on something. You know, like this Gene Dixon, you're walking out the supermarket, and you look at National Enquirer or the Star or something. Gene Dixon says, California's going to fall off a cliff on June 28th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. June 28th comes, California doesn't fall off of a cliff, and therefore Gene Dixon is wrong again. I don't know why in hell people listen to Nostradamus and Gene Dixon and all this horse pucky from the National Enquirer. Can you tell me one thing that ever happened? Now, I'm taking these guys to task, and all of them, I think, are about 90% right in their overall predictions. They're just always wrong when it comes to the timing of it. I mentioned this the other day. People call here all the time, hey, Mr. Gordon, when's this going to happen? Like, I've got a crystal ball. Oh, yeah, Jesus is coming back on this date. Yeah, the stock market is going to go up 40 points on Thursday and then down 150 on Friday. Hell, I don't know what the stock market's going to do. I can't tell you what the price of copper is going to be in July of 2011. And furthermore, I don't think anybody else can either. Now, there might be some guys out there that control the market can tell you, yeah, it's going to be $5.14 because I'm going to run it up to that and I've got the power to do that. And they might. I don't know what the Bank of England or David Rockefeller can do. but it's a bunch. Now, here's a guy by the name of Nino Becerra. He's a professor of economics, and he predicted in July of 2007 that what was going to happen was that by the midpoint in 2010, there's going to be a crisis only comparable to the one in 1929. So, number one, he says that in July of 2007, he said that by July of 2010, he's predicting 3 years into the future. Now, I don't know why he didn't come up with July of 2009 or July of 2011. Why July of 2010? Why July? Why not May or October? I don't know. I guess you'd have to ask him. Now, I don't take issue at what he's saying, but as it proved out, and I said this last June when we first went through these predictions, I said, we'll put it on the shelf. We'll come back here in December or January and take a look at them and see how accurate they are. I'm amazed at how poor these guys are at making the prediction based upon their dates. But anyway, he says that by July of 2010, he said that this crisis would be comparable to only 1929. From October of 2009 to May of 2010, people will begin to see things are not working out the way the government thought. In May of 2010, the crisis... See here, the crisis starts with all of its force and continues and strengthens throughout 2011. Now it says in ending, he accurately predicted the current recession and the market crash to the month. Well, did he predict it, or did it just happen that way? I mean, you know, it could well be that he could make one of these statements there, you know, like the market is going to do thus and such in July. And what if it actually did that in July? Would that make him a profit, or would that just be a good guess of, happens to come out right. See, you could flip a coin and you'd have a 50-50 shot at it. Now, in trying to pick the year, you know, that's a lot easier than trying to pick the month in a year or the week that it's going to occur or the day or the hour. And here again, they get tripped up here when they put these dates on here. So here's where you're at. Nino Becerra, he actually hit 60%. He made five predictions. And three of them came to pass. Well, at least I gave him credit for it. Here's where we are. He said, number one, July 2010 crisis comparable to 29. Didn't happen. From October to May 2010, the government was wrong. Yep, they were wrong. The recession did not pull out, and it's gotten worse. Number three, crisis starts in May of 2010. No, we didn't get a crisis. Number four, it continues through 2011. So I'm going to leave that one open. We haven't got to 2011 yet, so he's not wrong. And then number five, he accurately predicted the current GFC to the month. I don't know that he did, but if that's true, then he got that one correct, didn't he? So if that's true, then he made five predictions. Three of them succeeded, two of them failed, and he comes up with 60%. Now, that's just a tad better than flipping a coin. A guy by the name of Lyndon LaRouche. Now, this guy, Lyndon LaRouche, is an economist. He ran for president three or four times on, I don't know if it's called the Lyndon LaRouche Party or something like that. Then the powers that be got after him and put him in prison. So he must be pretty accurate. He must be a real thorn in their side. See, for most of us, you know, guys like me, I'm not a thorn in their side. I'm just a pest, just a nuisance. But now some people, this guy, Assange from Australia, the WikiLeaks man, oh my God, he's getting to be more than just a nuisance or a thorn in their side. You can tell that because now they've brought charges against him, see, in Sweden and arrested him. They want to prosecute him. They evidently can't get him, you know, for espionage or revealing or printing these secrets. So now they're going to get him for a rape or something else. And then that's just exactly what the government always does. If you go back in history and you take a look at Martin Luther, Tyndall, you know, the old reformers, they enacted laws and then they went out and arrested these guys for breaking these laws. And then they took them out and burned them at the stake. Now, this guy from Australia, the WikiLeaks guy, I think he's getting to be more than a thorn in their side. He's going to meet up with an accident. He's going to end up dead. Now, that's the way the government reacts. Now, if they can put him away, you know, in prison, they might be satisfied with that. See, that's what they did to this guy, George Hansen from Idaho. And he during the Carter years, he went over to Iran, you know. Oh, that didn't fit in with the government. That is the powers that be. So they locked him up in jail on tax charges. And then old George Hansen, you know, he was about as straight and narrow as you could get. All right, so anyway, Richard Russell He didn't do so well. Nino Becerra, the professor of economics, he did a little better. Now, this guy Lyndon LaRouche comes into the game. They locked him up in prison, so he's been totally discredited. Nobody listens to Lyndon LaRouche, but he's not too much of a slouch. He made four predictions. Two of them came to pass. He said the crisis is accelerating and will become worse week by week until the whole system grinds into collapse, likely sometime this year. And when it does, it will be the greatest collapse since the fall of the Roman Empire. Well, I think he's 100% correct. It's just that it isn't going to happen in 2010, as was demonstrated by the fact that it didn't happen in 2010. Now, 2011 is going to be worse than 2010. 10 was worse than 9. 9 was worse than 8. 8 was worse than 7. So it's been progressively getting worse and worse. And is it getting worse and worse week by week? Well, I think I would agree with him there. I read the newsletters every week. And as I'm watching the newsletters, it's progressively getting worse and worse, but very slowly. Very, very slowly. And if you're not reading the newsletters, you haven't noticed anything's haywire. Now, people this year went out and spent a bunch at Christmas. They're feeling pretty cocky and confident. I went out and bought 2 more pallets of food. It didn't look like it was getting better and better to me. So I'm hunkering down, working twice as hard. You know, my eyes are moving and shifting back and forth from one side to the other, looking for, well, what's coming at me next? So I think LaRouche is about correct. He said the crisis is accelerating week by week. Yep, that happened. Becomes worse week by week. Yep, that happened. The system grinds into collapse sometime this year. Nope, didn't happen. And the greatest collapse since the Roman Empire. Well, the Roman Empire's collapse was pretty total. They went into national captivity. The United States didn't do that in the year 2010, so he missed that one too. Is it going to be as bad as the Roman Empire collapse? I don't know. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, and Daniel said in Daniel chapter 12, he said, this is going to be the worst event in the history of the world. And I thought Noah's flood would have taken that honor. But no sirree, Bob. The two big prophets, that's Jesus and Daniel, they said, no, sir, this great tribulation is going to beat Noah's flood. All right, let me give you a mid-course reminder here and remind you that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review, and that we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the law school and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Click on to the email. Do better than that. Click on to the archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package right there, georgegordon.org. Go to the archives page. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour, an editorial review, gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements are recommendations that we give. Do not mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. So keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we are reviewing the predictions for the year 2010. Now, we went through these predictions back in June or July, probably in June, and we said, well, here's what we're expecting for the year 2010, and I delivered that, and I said, here's the guys that are expecting it. So I went through the same 23 fellows. And then when I got through, I said, well, now that's what these boys are expecting for this year. Now let's put this up on the shelf. We'll come back in December, January, and we'll give them a grade and see how they did. So far, they're not doing very well, are they? So far, these guys would have done better flipping a coin. Now, it isn't because of their predictions, per se. It's because of the date they put on it. And that's what the problem is. That's why I digressed and I took on Figge. Figge did the same thing. He said in 1990, by 95 and 2000, this thing is going to be over. It isn't over yet. As old Yogi Berra said, you know, it ain't over till it's over. And it isn't over yet. And the only thing that Figge screwed up on was the date. Everything else they said is right on cue, right on schedule. And what the Figge people did in the Grace Commission, they took a look at the Roman Empire. They took a look at all the ancient peoples. They took a look at history over the last 500 years. They went down to South America, took a look at what happened down there in the last 50 or 75 years, interviewed people. The people down there said, you know, the bankers and businessmen, they said, you people in America are doing exactly what we did. Now, isn't that the definition of insanity? You see, we're doing what the Argentines, Brazilians, and Bolivians did. When they did it, they ended up in hyperinflation. Now we're doing it. Do we expect a different result? Yeah, we do. And Ben Bernanke is out there saying, hey, you follow me. President Obama says, we're going to do the same thing that the Brazilians did, the Argentines did, and the Bolivians did, but we're going to get a different result. The result that we're going to get is different. They got hyperinflation. We're going to get wealth and prosperity. Well, the hell you beller. Let's see what's going to happen here. Huh? So I'm going to take this same 23 guys here, and then we'll come back in about 6 months or so, say about June. And then we will review these guys a third time, and then we'll try it maybe next December. And so in June of 2011 and then December of 2011. And I think we're going to find out that about the end of 2011, or maybe we'll have to go one more year, about 2012, I'll bet you that about 90% of everything these guys are predicting, you know, things like the collapse of the dollar or the decline of the dollar and the civil unrest in the streets and martial law and all the rest of it, I'll just bet you all of it will come to pass. It just isn't going to come to pass when they said it was. And these guys could do us a lot bigger, better service if they'd shut up about when it's going to happen and concentrate on giving us a source of information. Like, here's what Gibbon's Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire says on page 382. Here's what the Romans did. Here's what we're doing today. I think we'll get the same result. I think they'd help us a lot more. So after Lyndon LaRouche comes the Wall Street Journal. Now, the Wall Street Journal is a pretty respected newspaper here in the United States. It's an economics newspaper. And they're pretty hot and heavy on Wall Street. In fact, I think they're owned by one of the big Wall Street banks. If they're not owned by a big Wall Street bank, George Soros or Murdoch or Buffett or somebody owns that Wall Street Journal, it's one of the heavy hitters, one of the insiders. And they gave us 8 predictions. Here's what the Wall Street Journal had to say. They said, you're witnessing a fundamental breakdown of the American dream. A systematic breakdown of our democracy and our capitalism. A breakdown driven by blind, insatiable greed of Wall Street, dysfunctional government, insane markets, the economy on the brink. Now multiply that many times over and see a world in total disarray. Ignore it now. Tomorrow will be too late. That was a statement made in the Wall Street Journal on February 20th, 2010. Well, now, did all of that happen? They made 8 predictions. And of the 8 predictions, 2 of them happened. So they got a 25% score. And so here's what they thought. There would be a fundamental breakdown of the American dream. Yes, sir, that's happened. You're unable to buy a house now. You're unable to buy a car. 10% of us are unemployed under U5. 28% of us are unemployed if you take a look at U1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Number 2, breakdown of our democracy. No, that didn't happen. Breakdown of our capitalism. No, that hasn't happened yet. A breakdown driven by Wall Street. Nope, not yet. Number 5, dysfunctional government. Yep, we got dysfunctional government all right. Number 6, insane markets. Yep, the markets are insane all right. They're behaving in exactly the opposite to what they ought to. And that's because they're controlled by the plunge protection team. So when the market you'd expect to go down, by historical standards, it goes up. And when it goes up, by historical standards, you'd expect it to go down. So when there's bad news, the market goes up. When there's good news, the market goes down. Is it dysfunctional? Yeah, it's insane. Number 7, the economy is on the brink. No. In fact, the economy is just doing hunky-dory well. It was on the brink in September of 08, but it's come back from the brink. And then the world in total disarray. Well, I would suspect that it's probably going to end up that way, but it's not there yet. So it is true, there's a fundamental breakdown of the American dream and dysfunctional government going on. Wall Street Journal comes up with 25%. If we were to take a look at their predictions, all eight, is that what we're headed for? Oh, I think so. I think they're going to be 100% true, accurate, and correct. When? I don't know. Well, will it be in 2011? I don't know. That's what I don't know means. I don't know. If I knew, I'd tell you. I don't have a crystal ball. And now we can see they don't have a crystal ball either. They thought it was going to happen in 2010. Didn't. So their crystal ball doesn't work. It isn't that their predictions. It isn't that their history is bad. It's that their dates are bad. Now, here's a big long one here. A fellow by the name of Eric D. Carbonell. I never heard of the guy. I don't know what the hell he does or what his claim to fame is. But he made quite a few predictions here. In fact, he made 21. 21 predictions, and one of them came to pass. Lyndon LaRouche made four. He got two out of four. This guy made 21. Now, I don't know whether the more predictions you make increases your odds of getting them right, or if you make one prediction, you have a 100% chance of being right or being wrong. If you make two predictions, you have a 50% chance of being right or wrong. When you make 21, well, then it looks like to me that you've only got a 5% chance of being right or wrong. And he hit it right on the money, 5%, 4.7. So here's his story. He said, there is no precedence for the panic and chaos that will occur in 2010. The global food supply and the food demand picture has never been so out of balance. The 2010 food crisis will rearrange economic, financial, and political order of the world, and those who aren't prepared will suffer terrible losses, and as the dollar loses most of its value, America's savings will be wiped out. The U.S. service economy will disintegrate as consumer spending in real terms, for instance, gold or other stable currencies, drops like a rock, bringing unemployment to levels exceeding the Great Depression. Public health services and programs will be cut back, as individuals will have no savings, credit, income to pay for medical care. The value of most investments will be wiped out. The U.S. debt markets will freeze up again, this time permanently. There will be no buyers except at the most drastic of fire sale prices. Inflation will wipe away value before credit markets have any chance at recovery. The panic in 2010 will see the majority of derivatives end up worthless. Since global derivatives markets operate on the assumption of the continued stable value of the dollar and short-term U.S. debt, using derivatives to bet against the dollar is not a good idea. The panic in 2010 will see the majority of derivatives end up worthless. The dollar's collapse will rob U.S. consumers of all purchasing power. And any investment depends on U.S. consumption will lose most of its value. So I went through and I read those and I wrote them down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 11, and so on up to 21. So I got them all written down, and let's go through and see what he's got. He says, no precedence for the panic and chaos in 2010. No panic and chaos here. Number two, global food supply and balance is out of balance. No. The food's just about where it's always been, 38-day supply. It's critical. I mean, the guy hit the nail on the head. When he tells you that the food supply problem in the world is critical, oh, my God, I couldn't agree more. 20 million people a year starving to death worldwide. That's pretty serious. But it didn't take a turn for the worse. It's bad, and if there's any change, for instance, if we have an economic collapse and a dust bowl and the aquifer goes dry at the same time and food production in America is cut in half, oh, you talk about something being really serious. Like the dust bowl years, the drought years of the 1930s, what if that happens in Australia and Canada at the same time? You know, if there's a God in heaven and if that guy's at the control wheel here, you know, this guy could cause us a lot of grief in short order. But it didn't happen in 2010, and that's what the problem is. This guy said it was going to happen this year. So the food crisis will rearrange economic order. Well, I'm sure it will when it happens, but it didn't happen in 2010. The food crisis will rearrange the financial order. I'm sure it will, but not in 2010. The food crisis will rearrange the political order. And you're probably right again, but not in 2010. Unprepared people will suffer terrible losses. Hell, even the people who are prepared when this happens are going to suffer some terrible losses. Number seven, the dollar loses most of its value. Well, most would be 51%. The dollar did not lose 51% of its value. It peaked at 89, and the last time I saw a number, it was 81. Is it going to lose? Oh, yeah, Ben Bernanke guaranteed it. He's going to devalue the dollar by, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60%, whatever he thinks that it needs to stimulate the economy. he's going to be disappointed because devaluing the dollar isn't going to stimulate the economy. Whether he knows that or not, I can't tell. I don't know what he knows or what he doesn't know. I just know that devaluation in the 1930s did not stimulate our economy. And we did that. We gave it a 60% devaluation. No, it was a 40% devaluation. And it didn't stimulate the economy. Didn't do any of that. In fact, it might have worked against the economy and caused the problems that caused the last Great Depression to last until 1941. Ben Bernanke says he's an expert on the last depression. I'm just a plumber, and I'm just looking at the numbers and reading the books. And whatever happened, it didn't solve the problem. The U.S. service economy will disintegrate. Well, it didn't happen in 2010. America's savings will be wiped out. Well, that didn't happen. Consumer spending is going to drop like a rock. Nope, it went up. Number 11, unemployment exceeding the Great Depression. I gave him a yes on that one. Now, I don't know what numbers he's following over here, but I'll give you the numbers, and then you can go from there. The Department of Labor has six numbers. It's U1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. The U5 number is the number of people that are drawing unemployment today. They go down every Friday, pick up their unemployment check. Now, there's five other measures of unemployment and a survey taken this year. They went out and knocked on doors nationwide, took a survey, and found that there was one person or more in 28% of the houses they surveyed where somebody was looking for a full-time job. Now, the unemployment rate in 1935 hit the peak at 25%. The unemployment rate in the United States by that measure is 28%. That's 3 percentage points higher than the 1928 rate. Based upon the numbers that I see compared to the numbers in the 1930s, my guesstimate would be the unemployment rate in the United States is going to peak at somewhere around 60 to 70%. Yeah, 60 to 70%. About the same as it did in Argentina when their economy collapsed back in 03. Now, that's just my guess. I'm not a prophet. But it's already above the 1935 level. And our government is concealing and hiding that. The real unemployment rate, based upon the Department of Labor's statistics put out by Shadow Stats, is 21.38%. Right at 21.5%. So that's only about 3 or 4 percentage points now below what it was in 1935 using the government figures, which are always bad numbers, but, you know, let's give them credit where credit's due. Number 12, public health services will be cut back. Not yet. In fact, for this year, they actually increased public health services. Remember, they passed the Obamacare bill. Number 13, no income savings or credit to pay for the medical care. Well, that hasn't happened yet. I think it's coming, but not in 2010. Number 14, the value of most investments wiped out. Yeah, it's probably coming, but it didn't happen yet. Not in 2010. And he says this time it'll be permanently. U.S. debt markets will freeze up again. Well, the debt markets haven't frozen up again, at least not in 2010. And that's because we haven't had a collapse of the commercial real estate market. We haven't had a collapse of the state of Illinois or California. Now, in 2011, Whitney Meredith thinks that they won't be able to paper that over for one more year. Now, Whitney is pretty careful. She didn't say this is going to happen in 2011. She said, I don't know when, but it doesn't look like they're going to be able to paper it over. They did it in 09. They did it in 10. But it's becoming more and more acute, kind of like Lyndon LaRouche said. You know, every week, week by week, it gets progressively worse. And that's happening. It's getting progressively worse. No buyers except at fireside prices. Nah, the prices aren't down to fireside yet. Inflation will wipe away value. Well, no. We're not at the hyperinflation level. Hyperinflation is 10% a month. Derivatives become worthless in 2010. Nope, they still got value. The dollar collapse robs consumers of all purchasing power. That'll happen when the dollar collapses, but see, it didn't happen in 2010. And any investment depending on U.S. consumption loses most of its value. Well, it didn't happen. All of those predictions, if he would have left off, it's going to happen in 2010, would be very viable. I think all of that's going to happen. That's what I'm expecting. That's what I'm preparing for. And I suggest to my students, this is what you need to be preparing for. These guys are not dumb. These guys are investors. They're professors. Every single case, their predictions come up and fail because they said, it's going to happen in 2010. It's going to happen in 2009. And if they say it's going to happen in 2011, 12, or 13, I think they'll be just about as wrong as they were in 2008, 9, and 10. It's enough to say that if this trend continues, the ship is going to sink. So the Titanic, when it hit the ice, everybody wanted to know, well, when is it going to sink? Nobody knew. But today we know, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Today, we know it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. Now, 15 minutes after it hit the ice, it still looked like it was in pretty good condition. An hour later, I'm sure that most people were very suspicious. And then, as time progressed along, if somebody had said this thing's going to float for 3 days, or it's going to float for 3 hours, they would have been wrong. And if they had said it's going to sink in an hour, no, didn't sink in an hour, wasn't that bad. It's going to sink sometime tomorrow. Well, it's not that good. So that's what the bottom line to that is. Now, as we progress along through these various prognosticators over here, I'm going to draw a margin arrow right there because I'm running out of time here. And then we'll take a look at this thing here tomorrow. There's about 800 of these FEMA camps that have already been built here in the United States. I'm going to prime you for this one. Why would you build 800? My boy, Ten, was up in Elmendorf Air Force Base, I believe it was, in Alaska. And he called me one day on the telephone. And he says, Dad, I'm out here working on this great big project, and then we're building all these barracks out here, and we're building this big fence around this great big area. And then I said, Son, tell me, the barbed wire at the top of the fence, which way is it headed, in or out? And he said, oh, it's facing in. I said, that's to keep people in, Ted. My boy was about 18 years old. I said, that's to keep them in. That's for people like me. They will take us and lock us up in these camps, and then that's to keep us in. It's not to keep bad guys out. You're building a prison camp up there, son. And that was in 1985. Since then, there have been a lot of prison camps built all over the United States. And now they're up to 800. I just got a report here the other day. And then I'll give you that report here at the end of the week. And then I'll show you where this is going, because this is headed for civil unrest. And government can't have civil unrest, so we have to have a place to put these people. And then I'll tell you where some of those places are going to be. Some of them will be right close to your home. You won't have to walk too far. All right, you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, there's a signal that says my time's up. I got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night.